This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. We are less than 2 weeks away, a week from Saturday, week zero. We'll get things going. We had Stanford Steve from ESPN on earlier this week, who will be over in Dublin for that Georgia Tech Florida State game. Continuing to see money come in on the Rambling Wreck as some shops down to 11 in that game. Later on in the podcast, we're going to catch up with Tyler Shoemaker as he wrote up the Conference USA preview for our VSiN College Football Betting Guide. A couple more best bets to wrap up the podcast as I was dabbling around in some cross-sport parlays. What possibly could go wrong there? So we'll add a couple extra bets to our portfolio for the entire offseason. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe as we continue to get closer and closer to the college football season. And a gentleman that you know well wrote up the Big Ten for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, as well as his top 25 and best bets. It is Matt Humans who joins us right now. Matt, your top 25 in our guide there. Anything that surprised you from the AP poll, or are you at the point like me where you don't even really look at the AP poll? It means absolutely nothing nowadays.
Tim, it's great to be back on the VSiN College Football Podcast. Been a while for me, and you're doing a great job holding down the fort and building up the content over the summer. I'll tell you this, that I stopped looking at the AP poll seriously about 20 years ago, probably. So, it's something that's good for fans. It's good for media hype and things like that. So it's not worthless. I actually think there are times during the season when you can use it as a handicapping angle. But at this point, no. I did think that it was interesting to look at the VSiN preseason top 25, which is my power ratings and Paul Stone's power ratings and a combination of those two. And that's how I arrived at that top 25. I believe the top eight teams were identical in order. And then after that, you get a few changes in there. And actually, to be honest, there are a few teams in the top 25 that I'd probably change my rating on a little bit. You know, I had to do that before I did all my Big Ten work and all my work on some of the teams and some of the power ratings I would change a little bit. I'd drop Oklahoma a little bit. I'd drop Michigan a little bit, maybe raise Missouri. So a couple of things. And there are teams also like Wisconsin and USC that we might talk about during the Big Ten that I'm not even sure are legit top 25 teams right now. I'm probably a little bit higher on Iowa State and Kansas State than I was when I did my initial rating. So, you know, it's a fluid situation when you're doing power ratings and things like that and, evaluating these teams during the offseason. So, but all in all, I feel pretty good about our top 25 and there's no arguments with the top eight or top 10.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. As you know, for those who didn't see it, make sure to check it out. But your number one team is Georgia, and Ohio State comes in at number two, followed up by a team that we will definitely talk about in Oregon. Obviously, we'll talk about Ohio State too. Texas four, they're dealing with some injuries in the backfield right now. A couple of running backs lost for the year, including starter C.J. Baxter. Bama, Mississippi, Notre Dame, Penn State. Let's get to Ole Miss. We're going to hit on your best bets before diving into the Big Ten. And two of your best bets are Big Ten bets. So let's start with Ole Miss. The Portal King is what he has deemed himself, Lane Kiffin, as he went out and he added some very interesting pieces. Juice Wells comes in from South Carolina. He gets to be paired up with Trey Harris to make a pretty dynamic 1-2 punch. The backfield is people are going to talk about Quinshon Judkins leaving, but they went out and got Rashad Amos from Miami of Ohio, Logan Diggs from LSU, Ulysses Bentley's still there, so I don't know how big of a drop-off that backfield takes. You add in someone like Walter Nolan to bolster up that defensive line, and Jackson Dart is back for another year. So Ole Miss, Matt, as we look at the schedule right now, is over-under 9.5, minus 110 both ways here at Circa, and around minus 130 to make the college football playoff at multiple shops. Heading into this year, are you buying into the hype of the Ole Miss Rebels?
Well, what's interesting is this is the third year in a row I've bought into the hype on the Ole Miss Rebels. I've won the first two, so hopefully we'll make it three in a row. because you know what? The price inflation is pretty obvious here. I think 2 years ago, I bet Ole Miss over a win total of 6.5. Last year, it was win total of what, Tim, was it 7.5 last year?
I think so. 7.5, 8.
Yeah, 6.5 to 7.5. Now we're up to 9.5. So the stakes are raised here. It's going to be tougher to get over this higher hurdle of 9.5 wins. But, you know, Lane Kiffin, a lot of people don't like him. You have to admit he's an elite coach. He's definitely becoming an elite coach, and he's definitely a top-notch recruiter. And he's using the transfer portal, like it or not, to his advantage. And he doesn't even like the transfer portal, he says. But he's using it well. The thing that jumps out to me is the Rebels are expected to have 10 veterans. I don't say returning starters, because we can't say returning starters in college football like we used to. Some of the starters are veterans who are transfers from other programs, right? But they were starters on their previous teams. Let's say 10 veterans starting on each side of the ball. And that's that right there, that makes Ole Miss one of the most experienced teams in the country. Jackson Dart's a quarterback who can run it and throw it. He's an accurate passer. He's also a strong runner, 31 total touchdowns, 3,755 total yards last season. I think those numbers should go up. Ole Miss was 11-2. Double-digit losses at Alabama and Georgia. Hey, no shame in that, to lose by double digits on the road to Bama and Georgia. So the schedule's more manageable this time. Home games against Georgia and Oklahoma. Toughest road trips against LSU and Florida. Those are winnable games. I think Ole Miss is going to make a run here. And I like the Rebels to make a run toward the top of the SEC, win 10, and reach the playoffs. So, yeah, I did bet to make the playoffs -130, over 9.5 wins, and hopefully this team's good to me for the third year in a row.
Back-to-back podcast guests that are in on Ole Miss, you and Stanford Steve, believing in what Lane Kiffin's got cooking down there in Oxford. As mentioned, you wrote up the Big Ten for the conference. You've got a couple of best bets on win totals, which we will weave in. But let's start with the top two teams, Ohio State and Oregon. Ohio State, win total sitting at 10.5, -650 to make the college football playoff. Second shortest odds to win the national championship. They went out this offseason. They got Bill O'Brien. He leaves to go to Boston College to be their head coach. And then they bring in Chip Kelly to be the offensive coordinator for Ryan Day, entering his seventh season. I'm not the biggest Will Howard guy in the world. However, the weapons that they have around him are very, very tantalizing. And then when you think about the defense heading into year three under Jim Knowles, it should make another step forward. A lot of pieces coming back from last year's team. Last year was deemed kind of disappointing, despite them being undefeated going into that game against Michigan and ultimately losing by a touchdown. So Ohio State, 10.5 wins, massive favorites to make the playoffs. Any reason to doubt the Buckeyes this year?
Yeah, I think Will Howard might be one reason to doubt the Buckeyes a little bit. And, you know, I got to tell you that when I was grading Oregon and Ohio State, it's a dead heat, basically, for me. And I give the Ducks a bit of an advantage because they have a home game against the Buckeyes. I also gave Ohio State an advantage because they have Chip Kelly as offensive coordinator. And I think they're going to have, if not the best, one of the best running attacks in college football. So talk about that a little bit. Start with the obvious here. Ryan Day catches a break because Chip Kelly's tired of being a head coach and dealing with all the nonsense in this era of college football. So he gets Chip Kelly as his offensive coordinator, which is a great thing. It really is. He's a run first play caller, and this is going to be the strength of this Ohio State team, which is going to be built very similar to the Michigan teams of the last couple of years, with a strong offensive line, a power running attack, the ability to bulldoze defenses with the running game, and that's what you're going to see with Ohio State. Also, the obvious is that Jim Harbaugh is gone. So are 13 starters in Michigan. And guess what? The Wolverines have to go to Columbus this season. So Ohio State's got to deal with Oregon and Penn State on the road. I'm not going to bet over the win total. I think this is really strong likelihood that this is going to be a playoff team and go 10-2 or 11-1. I just don't see much of an edge in betting over the win total of 10.5 because I think the Buckeyes are going to lose that game at Oregon. So I'm not going to bet on them running the table the rest of the way. That's kind of a risky play. I'll say that Ohio State's got everything it needs to win the championship. You got Quinshon Judkins, who you just talked about, transfer from Mississippi. This guy ran for 1,158 yards and 15 touchdowns last season. And you have Trayvon Henderson, the leading rusher who's returning. Will Howard's a capable runner. He's actually a really tough runner. And even losing Marvin Harrison Jr. is not a big problem for the Buckeyes because you're loaded at the wide receiver spot. The line brings back four veterans. I don't really see a weakness here on offense. With Chip Kelly calling the plays, it's going to be a power running attack, like I said, that's going to run over defenses. So I like it, the way things set up for Ohio State. And then you look at Oregon, win total at 10.5. You catch a break because you get Ohio State as a home game. But you also have Michigan and Wisconsin on the road. Those are not going to be layups. Washington, Boise State at home should be winnable games. I think the Ducks are going to win at least 10 and get to a playoff spot and make it win this whole thing. Dylan Gabriel, probably the best quarterback in the Big Ten, maybe in college football this season. And one thing about Dan Lanning I really like, he's got the SEC background. Because when you're talking about Pac-12, what's the first thing that comes to mind, right? Passing offenses and soft defenses. Soft. Dan Lanning is not doing that. He's not building the Ducks that way, right? They are going to throw the ball because he got a physical defense, and he comes from that SEC background where I think this organization is going to be able to Oregon football program should be able to transition easily to the Big Ten in a more physical style of play. So I'm not concerned about that at all. There are a lot of positives with this Oregon offense and plenty of positives with the defense. You know, talk about the Ohio State defense quickly. Last season, the Buckeyes allowed 17 points or fewer in 12 of 13 games. Well, if you look at the Oregon defense, it allowed 16.5 points per game last season. It's going to fit nicely into the Big Ten. These are the top two teams. Like, it's basically a dead heat for me at this point. They're both going to be playoff teams with a chance to win it all. But I did not bet the win totals on the Buckeyes or the Ducks.
Yeah, and I had a hard time with you finding ways to bet either one of these teams, and we talked about it a little bit. I got creative, had a little fun with it, pairing Oregon with the Eagles to win the NFC East. So Oregon to make the playoff, Eagles to win the NFC East at plus 154. So, yeah, I think Oregon's a playoff team. I think they're slightly better than Ohio State. I think these two teams probably split the season series. I'm assuming that they'll rematch in Indianapolis. Maybe they won't get there. So let's jump to Penn State, who has the same win total as both Oregon and Ohio State, but the juice, of course, varies. So Ohio State juiced over 10.5, Oregon even money to the over 10.5, and then Penn State, who is one of seven teams right now, Matt, that are a favorite to make the college football playoff. They are around minus 150, and there might be no program in the country happier about the expanded playoff than Penn State, a team that probably would have made it in a number of years, but because of only four teams, they did not get in. They get to host Ohio State this year. No Oregon, no Michigan on the schedule. They do have to go out to USC. They bring in Andy Koltunicki from Kansas. They bring in Tom Allen, the former Indiana head coach, to replace Manny Diaz, who leaves to go to Duke. I know a lot of people have their opinions on Drew Aller, their quarterback. Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton, quite the 1-2 punch in that backfield. So Penn State sits at 10.5 right now, plus 140 to the over, and at DraftKings, minus 140 to make the playoff. How are you looking at the Nittany Lions in 2024?
Well, Penn State win total is hanging at 10 out there most of the summer. And if you wanted to bet over 10, I wouldn't argue with that because I think there's a good chance Penn State's going to go at least 10-2 with a favorable schedule. Because like you mentioned, they miss Michigan. Ohio State, you get a home game with Ohio State, you miss Michigan. And Oregon and Iowa also not on the schedule this season for Penn State. So most difficult road tests are West Virginia, USC, and Wisconsin. By the way, circle, we're talking Big Ten football, circle October 12th on your schedule.
Yeah.
Ohio State at Oregon, Penn State at USC, right? Those are going to be two awesome games. Where is the Bear going to be that day? Where's the big noon kickoff in Fox? Because
I know. It might be on the West Coast, right?
West Coast.
Yeah.
Huh?
Might be on the West Coast, right?
Well, I'm saying it's going to be Oregon or USC. It's got to be. I don't know who's got first dibs on that stuff, but that game doesn't get any bigger than Ohio State at Oregon. And Penn State at USC is a monster game, too. Drew Aller, you know, there are a lot of people who don't like him. But, yeah, remember, he's a young quarterback. He's going to get better. 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions last season. Numbers do lie sometimes because in the 2 games against the Buckeyes and the Wolverines, he was 28 for 64. He didn't do it again in the big games. But you've got Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton, 2 of the best running backs in the country behind him. Pretty good wide receivers and an offensive line that's going to continue to be a strength, even though Olu Fashanu is gone as a first-round pick by the Jets. I don't know how Tom Allen's going to work out as a defensive coordinator. I'm not crazy about that move. I think he could be good, but it could backfire too. He's a basket case emotionally, and he was a poor head coach. You know, you're teaming up James Franklin with Tom Allen. I'm not sure I want to bet on that, but I'll say that Penn State's got everything to be a 10-win team and make the playoff, and everything you said is accurate there. James Franklin, 21-5 the past 2 seasons. He's just got to win the bigger games against Michigan and Ohio State, and he's got the Buckeyes at home and doesn't have Michigan, Oregon, and Iowa on the schedule again. So Penn State should be a playoff team, and everybody, including Chris DeBear, Felica, who have been on ESPN putting out these Penn State playoff plays, I agree with that.
Yeah, I heard an interview with, I think his name is Michael Mulvihill from Fox, and he indicated that there might have been a trade on that October 12th day. So we might see Oregon, Ohio State in primetime on NBC, but we will find out there. But just worth noting, and this is poor hosting on my part, 10.5 plus 140 at DraftKings. You go to Circa, it's minus 110 both ways on 10. So if you do want that Penn State over, get the 10, not the 10.5. Very important there. So it does feel like it's the big three and then maybe a little drop off to a team that won the national championship last year, and that's the Michigan Wolverines. Of course, Jim Harbaugh, he's off to the NFL, as are 9 starters on that offense, including J.J. McCarthy, with the unfortunate news that he will be sidelined for the entire year for the Minnesota Vikings. Blake Corum is gone. Roman Wilson is gone. A lot of pieces leave for Michigan, specifically on the offense. Sharon Moore steps in as the now head coach full-time. Remember, he got plenty of work last year, and got a little emotional in that Penn State game when Jim Harbaugh was unable to coach. Wink Martindale steps in as a defensive coordinator as Jesse Minter follows Jim Harbaugh to the NFL. Win total sits at 9 for the Wolverines, juice varying. It looks like you can find around minus $1.35 now to the under. I know this has been a popular play. I think there were 9.5s early on in the summer on Michigan, Matt. You look at the schedule, home to Texas, you're home to Oregon, and you're at Ohio State, 3 games where you will be an underdog. What do you make of the Wolverines in 2024?
This has been my best win total play. I've talked about it all summer. And when you have a Michigan team minus Jim Harbaugh and some other coaches and 13 players who were picked in the NFL draft, that was most of any college program. Good luck. I think this number, and Michigan's even preseason power rating and ranking, has been based on reputation that this Michigan machine is going to keep cranking out wins. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. Now, if the Wolverines just lose to all 3 top 5 preseason opponents, Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State, that means 9-3 is the best case scenario. I do think there's a chance Wolverines could beat the Longhorns in Ann Arbor. You know, a decent chance that could happen. I don't think they're going to beat the Ducks or the Buckeyes. This win total, when it was set at 9.5, was a ridiculously bad number. 9 is even one of those numbers you have to bet under, thinking that the best Michigan's going to do is go 9-3, and you're going to either win or push on this win total. I just think there's way too many new pieces here, new faces, for the Wolverines to just pick up where they left off and keep on winning. Wink Martindale, longtime NFL defensive coordinator, now is taking over the defense because Harbaugh took Rick Minter to the Chargers. Well, the defense looks like it's going to be good enough to keep the Wolverines in a lot of games. It's a little bit different being a college DC than it is when you've been in the NFL your entire careers. So I'm not sure how all these changes are going to work out. I don't think it's going to be smooth sailing for the Wolverines. Man, it's a really tough schedule, and I think the only way you can look here is under 9.
All right, let's get to a common play. We like to be simpatico on this podcast. We more often than not. Rarely go head-to-head every once in a while, but it's pretty rare. You and I think pretty similarly. And in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, you and I have a common play, and it was something we talked about on the podcast a month or so ago about Iowa, where the win total, I thought, was way too low at 7.5. It has gotten bet up to 8, and I still think 8 is worth a look, and we've seen the juice shift towards the over. And I know you've got some thoughts on this Iowa team that was able to win 10 regular season games just a year ago with that absolute train wreck of an offense, and schedule is everything. No Oregon. No Michigan, no Penn State, no USC for Iowa. They do have to go to Ohio State. They do have to play in-state rival Iowa State. But this is a schedule that they should be, Matt, a favorite, albeit maybe short in some of them, in 11 of their 12 games. So what do you make of Kirk Ferentz's squad heading into this year?
Yeah, that's all of that is true. And this is a defense that's about 14.8 points a game. And still, it's actually amazing.
It really is.
An Iowa offense that averaged an abysmal 15.4 points per game won 10 regular season games. That's because the defense was so good. Defense and special teams set up scores, actually produced scores and set up scores, and that's basically how it happened. But the offense averaged 235 yards a game. That ranked last in the nation. How's a team like that win 10 games? Well, there's a luck factor involved, but mostly defense and special teams. But this is a very favorable schedule again. Who's not on it? Michigan, Oregon, Penn State, Hawkeyes have everything set up here, I think, to win at least 9. I bet over 7.5. I paid the juice, and I also bet over 8. And the one thing that does concern me, let's talk about that. What could go wrong? Well, Cade McNamara this week in an Iowa scrimmage against the defense. Went 7 for 21, I think, for 20 yards with a pick 6. And Kirk Ferentz said when he was asked about the quarterback play, yeah, that's pretty much what we've been seeing every day in camp, which is not a good sign. Because I thought that one of the positives here would be Cade McNamara as a senior quarterback, former Michigan transfer, was going to come back and really trigger a better offense with a new coordinator. Well, you still got a strong offensive line with 4 senior starters and a junior. Well, Sean Williams, the leading rusher, comes back. I think this offense is going to be a lot better, but man, we need Cade McNamara to be a better trigger man for this offense and what he's showing so far in camp. And hopefully that happens. Maybe he's just struggling because the Iowa defense is so good, right? I think that's a possibility that when he faces weaker defenses here, things are going to be a lot easier for him. But that is a concern, but otherwise everything else sets up really well. I don't think there's any 7.5s out there anymore.
I don't think so.
From what I can see. Yeah, it looked like all the bettors have gobbled up to 7.5. You have to play over 8, but I still like that because I really think 8-4 would be disappointing for this Iowa team with the schedule it has.
A team that has a very challenging schedule, top 5 in the country, are the USC Trojans, who open up the season here in our backyard at Allegiant Stadium. Right now, line sits at LSU -6. They have a week 4 showdown at the Big House. They have to play Penn State at home. They do avoid Oregon. They avoid Ohio State. Wrap up the regular season against crosstown rival UCLA as well as Notre Dame. They get Nebraska at home. So there are some potential landmines here. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth. I don't have anything in pocket, Matt, on this USC team. But the more people start to doubt Lincoln Riley, the more I'm starting to kind of turn my attention maybe on the positive end. Win total sits at 7.5 for USC. You can get plus money on the over at DraftKings. We talked about this, I want to say, during the bowl season. They went out and poached Deonton Lynn from UCLA to be their defensive coordinator. They also added Doug Belk, who at one point in time was a rising star as a defensive coordinator at Houston. He's now their secondary coach. And, oh, by the way, their linebacker coach is the former North Dakota State head coach in Matt Enn. So Lincoln Riley really bolstered this defensive staff. The depth, the schedule, that's ultimately the question for me when it comes to fight on USC this year.
Yeah, it's Deonton Lynn was a great hire because he took that UCLA defense from 87th to 11th in total D in 1 year. And like you said, Matt Enn comes over from North Dakota State as well. The staff is so much better. and there's talent on that defense that makes you think that we could see a dramatic improvement here with the USCD. The offense, a lot of questions about Miller Moss. I was at the Holiday Bowl in San Diego when he threw for 372 yards and 6 touchdowns against Louisville. He's got Zachariah Brant, an explosive receiver to work with. Hey, if Moss doesn't get it done, UNLV transferred Jaden Maeva's back there as the backup, and he can play. But Lincoln Riley's going to figure out the offense, and he's got a great staff to figure out the defense. And like you said, one of the nation's most difficult schedules here is going to make it tough to get to 8, 9, 10 wins. This is a really brutal schedule. I had a hard time here with the USC win total. It's 7.5. I kind of wanted to be optimistic and believe that Lincoln Riley and his staff's going to probably exceed expectations. I went ahead and I decided to play it safe and go with the under in the VSIN college guide. I put it under 7.5 because the schedule, to me, if there are injuries or anything goes wrong, the schedule is going to make it so difficult to get to 8 wins or more that I had to go under that number. And I still think the potential's there for USC to be better people think, but this is not going to be a bet for me.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp, and right now, once again, you can get plus money on the over if you are optimistic on USC. Let's get to a team that there seems to be a lot of optimism out there, is Nebraska. They have not made it to a bowl game since the 2016 Music City Bowl. It has been quite some time for the Cornhuskers, and they almost got there, a game that I bet them against Iowa, and in typical fashion, they tripped all over themselves like they did pretty much the entirety of last year. I believe they were -17, Matt, in turnover margin a year ago. Lost a bunch of close games. That's been their MO since the Scott Frost era. The win total is high, 7.5 for the Corn, -140 at Circa to the over, -125 at DraftKings to the over. You open up the year, UTEP, big time showdown, revenge spot against Colorado. You look at the non-con, Northern Iowa as well in there. But, you know, this is a schedule where they should be a favorite heading into that, every game heading into that Ohio State showdown on October 26th. And then it gets much more daunting towards the back end of the schedule at USC, Wisconsin, and then the Black Friday showdown against Iowa on the road. What did you take away from Nebraska? And are you buying into the Matt Rhule optimism in year two in Lincoln?
Yeah, I'm buying into it to a certain extent. You know, Dylan Riola, the 5-star quarterback who looks like Patrick Mahomes, doesn't have to play like Mahomes for Nebraska to get to a bowl game. But the big question here, you know, when you're talking about the betting angle, is can the Huskers get to 8 wins? And it's not going to be easy. I know a lot of handicappers are throwing out Nebraska over 7.5 like it's going to be a layup, because you look at the start of the schedule and think, well, this team's going to be 6-0. They'll get to 8, no problem. I don't think it's going to be that easy. Still, Nebraska has to figure out a way to win games. This is a team that's found way too many ways to lose games. Cornhuskers committed 31 turnovers last season. You talked about the Iowa game. Cornhuskers lost 4 games by exactly 3 points last season, 3 of those by the same score of 13-10, and that's because the offense was abysmal. I do think Dylan Riola is going to change some things. And you have no Michigan, Oregon, or Penn State on the schedule, so that does set the table. I think a bowl game is pretty much a given. You know, this is a team that's going to win at least 6 or 7 games. Can it get to 8? I think too many handicappers are looking at this and saying the 6-0 start's going to be a layup, because there are a couple tricky games on there that Nebraska could lose. Don't forget this. We're not talking about Oregon or Ohio State here. We're talking about a Nebraska team that hasn't learned how to win games yet. So there are some spots on that schedule a little bit more difficult than some may think. And then the back end of the schedule, Ohio State, USC, Iowa, Wisconsin. You saw what happened in the last season for Nebraska. Something similar could happen this season. This is not a bet for me. I can understand the cappers who are betting the Cornhuskers over 7.5. I certainly understand it. I think the record's going to flip from 5-7 to 7-5. I'm going to be conservative here, but this is not a bet for me either, but I went with 7-5 as my prediction.
Matt, you mentioned prior to or just getting underway that the Big Ten has eliminated divisions, and most conferences have with the expansion, and there is no doubt, there is no program in the United States more excited about the elimination of divisions than the Rutgers Scarlet Knights to get out of the brutal Big Ten East? No more Ohio State, no more Michigan, no more Penn State on an annual basis. So Greg Schiano chopped that wood, and he was able to chop off Ohio State. He was able to chop off Penn State. He was able to get rid of a lot of big teams on this schedule. No Oregon as well. So you really couldn't ask for a better schedule for Greg Schiano's squad. And with that comes some expectations. Win total sitting at 6.5. To be honest, I was hoping to get maybe a 5.5 or 6. There was no chance I was going to be able to get that. But I'm curious your thoughts on Rutgers, because I would still lean a little bit over the 6.5. It might come down to those final couple games of the year, Minnesota, Maryland, Illinois, Michigan State, where they very well could be a favorite in all of those games, maybe a toss-up at Maryland. So what do you make of the Scarlet Knights, the boys from New Jersey this year?
Well, in the VSIN college guide, when I wrote up this team, I said, damn, I really wish this win total was at 6. I'd love to bet this over. Because 6.5, I think 6 wins is a safe bet. 7 is a little bit of a riskier call, but I still went with a lean to 7-5 for Rutgers, because it's almost like Greg Schiano pulled out a pen and made this schedule himself. It's a joke when you look at what the Scarlet, they've got the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. You don't have to play Ohio State, Oregon, or Penn State. You also miss Michigan and Iowa. So it's incredible what Rutgers got dealt here for a schedule card. And actually, the personnel, the talent's not going to blow you away, but I like Schiano as a coach. He's got the Big Ten's leading rusher back, Kyle Monongai, 5'9", cannonball, led the Big Ten with 1,262 yards rushing. He had 6 100-yard games. What's the correct pronunciation of his last name, Tim?
I'll just say what you said, Monongai.
I think that's it. Okay, 4 seniors on the offensive line look like they're going to start, and pretty good receivers here. But again, you talked about a Rutgers offense last year that in losses to Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, and Wisconsin averaged 8.4 points. So it was a bully offense. It was only effective against the worst defenses. But I think this defense is going to be pretty good too. Like I said, if this win total were 6, it would be a big bet for me over. But at 6.5, I'm just going to call it a lean to 7-5, and Greg Schiano is never going to get a better schedule than this the rest of his years at Rutgers. You can't ask for more of a gift than what Rutgers got with his schedule.
Let's get to Wisconsin, a team that you did put in your top 25, but you said after doing your deep dive might have altered that. So we won't hold you to that. Luke Fickell enters year 3 there in Madison, and I think you and I were both singing the praises of Wisconsin bringing in Luke Fickell. I thought this was a phenomenal hire. You know, you're going to take some bumps along the way, but just from what I've gathered from doing all of the research this offseason, it doesn't feel like this offseason has been awesome, to say the least, for Wisconsin. They did announce that Tyler Van Dyke, the Miami transfer, will indeed be the starter, which shouldn't come as a big surprise as he enters Phil Longo's offense there, that, you know, up-tempo air raid offense that had so much success at North Carolina. Win total sits at 6.5, juiced over for Wisconsin. You've got to play Alabama. Granted, you get them at home on September 14th. You get USC, got to go on the road there. Team we just mentioned, they got to play Rutgers on the road. Penn State at Iowa, Oregon. You avoid Ohio State. You avoid Michigan, but you also have to go to Nebraska as well. So the schedule's pretty challenging there for Wisconsin, probably around the top 25 schedule per most metrics out there, Matt. So Wisconsin win total sits at 6.5, year 3 for Luke Fickell.
Yes, and you're correct. When I did my first run through on Wisconsin, my power rating was higher than it was when I did my second and third run throughs, because then I dropped the Badgers rating, and I wrote that initial preseason top 25, and I had a higher rating on Wisconsin. Then after I did all my complete work on the Big Ten, I dropped Wisconsin a little bit because I'm not that fired up about this team. You got 3 surefire wins on the schedule: Western Michigan, South Dakota, and Purdue, because those are all in Madison, and I'm not sure there's another surefire win on the schedule, even though the Badgers should beat Northwestern and Minnesota. But, man, Luke Fickell, his track record makes me want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I was wrong about the Badgers last season. I expected more, and we got less from Wisconsin. Fickell went from 4-8 to 11-2 in his second year in Cincinnati. You're not going to see that type of turnaround here. Who knows, Tim, what you're going to get from Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback? You know, it looks good on paper. That doesn't mean it's going to play out that way, because we've seen him lay some eggs too. And I'll say there are 8 veterans back on this defense, but it was not a great, typically elite Wisconsin defense last season. And I got some questions about this team. I think the offense is going to be improved. Defense is going to be good enough. Wisconsin, to me, is going to be right there in that that range of a 6-6 or 7-5 type of team. It's really hard to project 8-4 when you look at the schedule and the personnel here, and consider you don't know what you're going to get from Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback. And you know what? Wisconsin also doesn't appear to have that big-time stud running back it's had almost every season for what seems like the last 25 years, right? So I gave the lean to Wisconsin over 6.5, but I don't do that with a lot of conviction.
Another team with a win total of 6.5, and I feel like it has been one that has been massively overlooked, and maybe rightfully so, the defending champion Washington Huskies, as they head into the Big Ten this year. 14-1 a year ago. Kalen DeBoer leads this team to a Pac-12 championship, leads them to a Sugar Bowl victory over Texas, and then they ultimately fell to Michigan in that national title game. Of course, Kalen DeBoer moves on. He goes to Alabama, brings a chunk of his staff. Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator who people sung the praises of, followed him to Alabama. He's now the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. So they go out and they get Jed Fish, a guy that led Arizona to the best ATS record a year ago. 11-2 ATS were the Arizona Wildcats, surprising everybody in the success that they had. Maybe a slightly phony overall record, but still great against the spread. You've got NFL presence from the coordinator position. You've got Pete Carroll's son, Brennan Carroll, as your OC, and you've got Steve Belichick. Yes, that Steve Belichick as your defensive coordinator. But not a lot of production returning, obviously, with Washington. They do bring in Will Rogers from Mississippi State. You look at the schedule, cross-country road trip to Rutgers, Michigan, at Iowa, at Penn State. They get USC, and they finish up the season against Oregon. They avoid Ohio State, but other than that, a pretty challenging schedule, and of course playing their in-state rival in Washington State in the non-con. Washington sits at 6.5. I don't have a bet on this, but I would lean a little bit towards the under on the Huskies this year.
Yeah, I'm going to lean over a little bit here, and but I said, again, we're talking leans. Yep. We're not talking best bets or anything like that. So I'm going to give Jed Fish the benefit of the doubt, too, here, because I think this team's a little bit more talented when you dig underneath it. I think a lot you're going to look at the surface and say, wow, they're losing all their starters, especially in offense, all 11 starters gone. And Will Rogers has plenty of experience, though. Over 12,000 passing yards, 94 touchdowns, 40 starts in his career, a transfer from Mississippi State. So I like that a lot, that Will Rogers is going to be able to step in and lead the offense. You've also got Jonah Coleman, who Fish brought from Arizona as a running back. Wideout Jeremiah Hunter from Cal. You've also got Cameron Davis coming back. Don't forget about him. He was supposed to be a stud on last year's team. He had a knee injury preseason and sat out the year. So he's going to come back. That's going to be a potent backfield with Jonah Coleman and Cameron Davis. Hopefully the offensive line is good enough. It looks like it could be. And then when on defense, you've actually got 3 pretty good players back on defense. Senior linebackers Carson Bruner, Alfonso Tupatala, and junior corner Elijah Jackson, all key contributors on last year's defense, come back. And Jed Fish is also bringing in some quality transfers from Arizona. So I actually think this team's going to be a bit more talented than most people think. And the Huskies open the season with Weber State, Eastern Michigan, Washington State, and Northwestern. I mean, that should be 4-0 right out of the gate. Can you get over 6.5? I think so. So I'm going to lean over 6.5 here for the Huskies.
You can read all of Matt's work in our VSiN College Football Betting Guide. A couple more I'm curious to get your opinion on. A best bet for me in the guide and as well on the podcast. And, you know, once again, numbers move quickly this offseason. I don't know. I don't want to say more so than recent years, but I felt like numbers move rather quickly. And, you know, we talked about it on the podcast. I bet under 5.5 for UCLA, minus $1.40 juice. The hooks are all gone. I still would look under 5. Circa sits at 4.5, and that would be a bridge too far for me with UCLA. The market has moved against them considerably in week one when they go out to the island to take on Hawaii on national television. But Deshaun Foster, I know maybe speaking in public, not a strength of his, but really dealt a challenging hand as he steps in for Chip Kelly there. Eric Bieniemy comes in for the offense as he had a less than successful season in the nation's capital with the Washington Commanders. We talked about D'Anton Lynn leaving to go to USC. And then look at the schedule, man. I mean, you've got a non-conference game at LSU. You've got Oregon. You've got Penn State. You got at Nebraska, at Rutgers, at Washington, a team that you're a little bit higher on than I am, Iowa, USC. You know, who knows what's going to happen in that regular season finale at home to Fresno State. So it is a challenging schedule. Phil Steele notes that it is the most biggest difference in schedule strength from last year to this year. So what do you make of UCLA year one of Deshaun Foster in Westwood?
Yeah, maybe that's why Chip Kelly left too, right? The tougher schedule, he said, I'd rather be offensive coordinator at Ohio State and win a bunch of games than struggle as head coach of the Bruins. Chip Kelly did win 17 games in the L.A. Bowl, including the L.A. Bowl his final 2 years, but he was not recruiting at a real high level. And I think that, you know, that's one thing that's going to hurt Sean Foster here, trying to get this thing off the ground. Play, I think under a win total of 5 is a really good bet. 4.5 is a risky play. Like you said, at circuits, 4.5. We listed that in our VSIN guide as 4.5, but obviously the best bet's under 5, and there's plenty of 5s out there. So I would play it that way because I really don't know how this coaching staff is going to make things work. You got a new offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy, but again, he's been in the NFL. You know, it's one thing to bring in a big-name offensive coordinator, but how effective is he going to be right away, especially with Ethan Garbers at quarterback? And I'm not all that impressed with Garbers from what I've seen so far. A few questions about the defense, too, because, again, you lose D'Anton Lynn, and you also lose the first defensive player picked in the NFL draft, Leitu, who went to the Colts. He was the team sack leader. He was a 15th pick, the first defensive player who went in the draft. So those are two huge losses here. And when you look at the schedule, like you mentioned, you got a new coach who's learning on the job, new offensive coordinator, bunch of new faces. You got road trips to Hawaii, LSU, Penn State, Rutgers, Nebraska, and Washington. Good luck. The Bruins are also going to travel a league high 22,000 plus miles this season. So travel fatigue could be a factor on top of everything else. Yeah, if the Bruins win the games they should against Hawaii, Indiana, Minnesota, and Fresno State, I think they can get to 5 wins, but I don't see 6. So I would say bet under 5. You got a good bet there, Tim.
Yeah, UCLA, Iowa right now, the two best bets that I have in this conference. And the one, as we wait here, Matt, and we've got about a week until the season starts, I know I should watch and not get, you know, itchy and bet another win total, but I'm really tempted on this next team. And maybe it's because of your co-host on VSiN tonight, the man who bleeds that candy cane color through his veins there, the Indiana Hoosiers. And if you watch Kirk Cignetti or heard from Kirk Cignetti at Big Ten Media Day, whoo, buddy, that dude can talk. Now, will it come out in the field? He's won everywhere he's been, whether it was Indiana University of Pennsylvania, Elon, and then most recently James Madison. He wins. Google him. That's what he said. Google me. So Indiana win total 5.5. Juice varies. There's a spot here in town at Stations Casino that was the cheapest price that I found at $1.25 to the over. Haven't gotten to the window yet, Matt. Should I get there on the Hoosiers over 5.5?
Yeah, I think so. The over 5.5 is going to be a bet for me. Like you said, I haven't bet it yet, but I've been thinking about it for the last 3 weeks and got to pull the trigger here pretty soon because I think Kurt Cignetti is going to turn this thing around. Again, Wes Reynolds will never admit this, but he loves cupcakes and his Indiana Hoosiers love to set up a cupcake schedule. Indiana sets up a cupcake schedule, like non-conference schedule, like every year. Tim, this goes back to when I was a kid. They're trying to schedule 3 wins in the non-conference, hoping that they can pull an upset or two in the conference season and get to a bowl. It rarely happens for the Hoosiers. But again, look at the schedule they set up this year. Florida International, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. The only thing missing there is Idaho State, right? So
the Bengals, baby. Don't overlook the Bengals of Idaho State.
And Indiana has played Idaho or Idaho State in recent years, too. They span the globe for the weakest non-conference opponents to try to give themselves a chance to get to a bowl. Indiana plays 5 games in September, also at UCLA, hosts Maryland. There's a chance this team could be 4-1 before the Big Ten schedule. I just think when you look at it, the Hoosiers upset Wisconsin last year, by the way. I think they'll pull off an upset or two in the league play this year because Kurt Cignetti has brought his quarterback over. Brought a quarterback over from Ohio and Curtis Rourke, who started 34 games and has got a really positive track record. Plus, Cignetti brought a lot of talent from James Madison. And the pieces are here, I think, for Indiana to go over 5.5. And even though this is not a bet I made, Wes Reynolds is really confident. And sometimes, you know, fans are pessimistic about their favorite teams. And Wes, a lot of times, is pessimistic about Indiana football. But he's over-the-top optimistic about this team. So if you want to follow the singing Hoosier, Wes Reynolds, over 5.5, I'm not going to disagree. I'm actually going to make this bet, I think, within the next few days because it's been one I've thought about. With Cignetti being a major coaching upgrade, a good quarterback situation, and a favorable schedule, I think the Hoosiers are going to get to at least 6. Wes Reynolds can start planning his days off for a bowl game trip sometime in December.
Yeah, he's already told us on this podcast that if they make a bowl, he will be there. Hey, Matt, let's wrap on this. We did not hit on Minnesota, Illinois, Northwestern, Michigan State, or your alma mater, Purdue. Of those, as I call them, the best of the rest, very tongue-in-cheek, anything of note or bettable of those remaining teams that you broke down in our guide?
I mean, you could probably see how exhausting it was to write the Big Ten previews.
Yeah, we've been talking for 50 minutes, so we still got 4 or 5 teams left.
Yeah, exactly. How many hours do you think I was writing on this? And I kept looking up, oh, man, I got 6 teams to go. Oh, God. It's such a big conference, and you're doing all these work on these teams. I felt like I was going to be completely exhausted by the time I got done with it. These 18-team super conferences, probably going to be 20-team conferences before you know it. I like Illinois under 5.5. I think this could be the worst team in the Big Ten. I know that the media poll picked Purdue to be the worst, but Purdue's talent's definitely better than Illinois'. But Purdue's got a tougher schedule. In fact, Boilermakers have to deal with a brutal schedule. And that's why I would recommend their win total under. I'm just not sure, even with a team that's better, I think in terms of talent than most people have graded it, I don't think Purdue can overcome that schedule and get over that win total. But Illinois, to me, on paper, looks like the worst, least talented team in the Big Ten. I would play Illinois under 5.5. Michigan State, of course, you got to love Jonathan Smith as coach, and I think a quick turnaround is possible. But there's not much talent he's got to work with here. And I would lean under 5, but it's not going to be a bet because I'm going to give Jonathan Smith a chance to be surprisingly good this year. But Michigan State, Illinois look really weak on paper. Minnesota, the schedule sets up for the Gophers to start 3-0 and probably get over that win total of 5.5. That's not going to be a play for me. Let's see, as far as what we have left here, Northwestern, I lean under 4.5 on that. Again, if Illinois is not the worst team in the Big Ten, it might be Northwestern. I think Illinois, Northwestern, Michigan State graded out as the worst teams for me. And David Braun did a hell of a job as a Cinderella story a year ago with the Purple Cats. But look at the quarterback situation, Tim. It's a complete mess, and the schedule's more difficult. I would say Northwestern under 4.5. So the Purple Cats, the Spartans, the Illini look pretty bad. I think Purdue's going to be better than people think. But again, I would lean under 4.5. I think it's probably going to be another 4-8 season for Ryan Walters. There's a lot of talent, actually, on this Purdue team, but the schedule is brutal. So that's basically my recap of those other Big Ten teams.
You can read all of it over with our VSiN College Football Betting Guide, available now, vsin.com/subscribe. Hear from Matt VSiN tonight. You'll hear him on this podcast as well. Matt, always appreciate it.
Tim, talk to you again soon as we get closer here. We're not too far away from week zero and week one.
No doubt about it. That is Matt Eumanns. Up next, we're going to preview the Conference USA. It ain't that great. Tyler Shoemaker, he gives his thoughts next right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
And we continue the previews with Tyler Shoemaker, who joins us right now. Follow him on social media, at T-Shoe Index, and make sure you ask him about grabbing his T-Shoe Index for all of his power ratings for FBS and FCS teams. We've already had one chat this offseason, but you wrote up the CUSA, Tyler, for our VSiN College Football Betting Guide. And let's start with Liberty. Their schedule, ridiculously soft, thought to be the easiest schedule in the country by some metrics out there. Win total is 10.5, juice to the over. They are minus 230 at Circa to win CUSA, plus 350 to make the college football playoff. Liberty, can anybody in this conference knock them off of their perch?
Tim, I think it's going to be tough. The funny thing for me is my numbers generally, for whatever reason, have tended to be more G5 friendly, you know, especially compared to like K Ford ratings. I know he and I did a show together last year, and there were often pretty big discrepancies between my numbers on some of these teams and his. But despite that fact, I still am under Liberty's 10.5 win total. I've got them right at 10.0 wins this year. Which, when you go through and just look game by game at their schedule, it's like, okay, well, where are they going to lose? Because they're at Appalachian State in their fifth game. I've got them as a 2-point favorite in that game. And then they're 9.5 or better favorites in every other game. So how are they going to lose two? Well, when you add up win probabilities, it's not 100% win probability every week. So the math just shakes out. The math says they're going to lose two games this year. So you and I know, have talked in the past about that App State game in particular. I was thinking about this. I think my angle here is the look-ahead spot in the week before when they play East Carolina, who a lot of people are very high on. I know Phil Steele said that I think they're one of his dark horse playoff candidates. So, you know, they play East Carolina the week before App State. I think that's going to be extremely interesting. I've got them as a 14-point favorite projected at this point in time in that game, but man, that could be a tricky spot for Liberty.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned East Carolina. Colin Wilson of the Action Network, high on them. Brad Powers, I know on a podcast earlier this summer, I believe he gave out their win total. It's moved, so I'm not saying just blindly follow. Make sure you go listen to Brad's analysis of East Carolina. But, you know, my question about Liberty is, let's look at this conference as a whole, and we'll get into some of the teams that you think could be, you know, worth a look to maybe challenge them, Tyler. But I mentioned the number at minus 230. That was Circa. DraftKings is minus $2. You know, I talked about it a couple weeks ago. If you like to do cross-sport parlays or things like that, future parlays, you know, maybe if $2 is too rich for your blood to look at pairing them with someone, you know, minus $3 on Oregon to make the college football playoff. But as a whole, outside of Liberty, did this conference improve? Because last year, I think a lot of us were hoping that, you know, maybe New Mexico State would give them a run for their money. It didn't end up happening that way. Liberty, I believe, covered that CUSA championship. Diego Pavia has moved on. Jerry Kill has moved on. So New Mexico State expected to take a pretty big step back. Is minus $2, right? That's about a 67% implied probability. Is that borderline a bargain for this Liberty team to win the CUSA?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking here quickly at my numbers, and I mean, in conference play, I don't see anyone really touching them. Western Kentucky is the closest I've got, and Liberty gets that game at home, which I have them projected as a 9.5-point favorite in. But I mean, when you're talking in terms of win probabilities, I mean, that Western Kentucky game, I give them a 77% chance to win. Jacksonville State, right at 79, and then everything else is 80% or better. So I definitely think they're going to be the team to come out of the conference. I think if they're going to lose any games this year, like we just talked about, I think it's going to be in the non-conference. I don't think anyone has the horses to be able to stop. I mean, this offense is built like a power four team. You know, Caden Salter is fantastic. I think he kind of reminds me a little bit of like Jordan Travis, kind of. He's like Jordan Travis light, I think. So very good player at that level. I don't think anyone's going to have the horses to stay with that offense.
All right, let's not just spend the entire time on Liberty, who is the class of the conference. Minus $2 is the price at DraftKings, minus 230 at Circa. You could play the no at Circa as well for plus money if you're a bit bullish. Plus 350 for them to make the playoff, and that's been a discussion we've had quite a bit here on the podcast, is will the committee take the loss to Oregon and hold that against them? That remains to be seen, but that's more of a bigger, broad conversation. I want to go in depth since you wrote up this conference. Let's go to Jacksonville State. This is a team that you, and once again, when we write these up, and I think our listeners know this, you know, we are asked to put in a suggestion on all of the win totals. It's not saying that we've bet them all. So Jacksonville State at DraftKings, their win total is sitting at 7.5, -$1.35. to the over. Rich Rodriguez enters, you know, his third year there, second year in the FBS, a surprising season a year ago. They win their bowl game. So they had a really impressive first season. What do you expect from the Gamecocks in year two in the FBS ranks?
I'm very curious to see what they're going to look like, because they, I think, exceeded all expectations last year, you know, putting together a really solid team in Conference USA last year. I've got them projected at 7.6 wins. What'd you say their updated win total is?
Seven and a half, okay. -$35 to the over.
Okay. Cause I initially a few weeks ago had it at 8. So it has come down a little bit, now juiced to the over. So, you know, I'm right there in line with the market now. I think this is pretty much where it should be. You know, they play at Louisville week two. I mean, that's probably a loss there. Again, at Liberty, you know, their toughest games are on the road, which is unfortunate for them. But I'm very curious to see what this team's going to look like, because they, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, which I was not really prepared for last year, they far exceeded my expectations and my projections last year. So I'm very curious to see what they can do here in year two in FBS.
So based off of the odds right now, let's just look through those. I mentioned at DraftKings that the favorite overwhelmingly is Liberty. They are the biggest favorite in any conference in the country, and Boise State is the only other odds-on favorite out there, and those moved after Jeff Tedford announced his retirement. So Jacksonville State comes in at plus 550, so per the odds, third highest power-rated team in the CUSA. The second on the odds board, I should say, is Western Kentucky. And you look at their non-con, they do have a couple of P5 teams, including a week one showdown in Tuscaloosa. So Kalen DeBoer opens up his era in Tuscaloosa with Western Kentucky. They go on the road to Chestnut Hill to take on Boston College. Always a tricky one, despite getting Toledo at home, a MAC team in Toledo. So pretty challenging non-conference portion of the schedule. And as you alluded to, they do have to go on the road to Liberty. They play the two perceived best teams in the conference, Liberty and Jacksonville State, in the final 2 weeks of the season. What's your take on this Western Kentucky team, who per the odds is the second shot to win this conference?
Yeah, and that's where my power ratings have them. I've got them second, slightly ahead of Jacksonville State, and a full touchdown behind Liberty. I've got them projected at 7.5 wins. Interesting note on that Alabama game to open the season. I think the line now is 30, if I recall correctly. But early in the summer, that was 32. So we've actually seen some action on Western Kentucky in that game, plus the points. So I'm kind of curious. I don't know if that's more of an endorsement of Western Kentucky or more of a fade of Alabama and Kalen DeBoer's debut at Alabama. But as far as this team goes, I mean, their schedule, obviously the non-con is going to be pretty challenging. At Boston College, I think, you know, that's not a guaranteed loss, but I think Boston College will be improved with Bill O'Brien taking over there. But I mean, you know, Toledo, that's certainly a winnable game. I've got them favored by 4 there. Eastern Kentucky, they should kill FCS team. The schedule is pretty manageable until you get to those last two. And then, you know, that's going to define their season. It's going to come down to the at Liberty, and then how can they rebound from that game one way or the other and play Jacksonville State in the last game of the season. So going to be a very fascinating year for Western Kentucky, moving on from Austin Reed, who felt like he was there for 27 years. He's like Western Kentucky's JT Barrett, I feel like. So I'll be very curious to see, you know, what the offense looks like moving on from him, because he's been there for so long.
All right. This is a team that certainly, I think, for a positive, got a lot of buzz last week. Mr. Worldwide, Mr. 305. FIU will be playing at Pitbull Stadium this year, a very unique naming rights situation there for FIU, and they are coming off of a 1-7 season in the CUSA. They open up their campaign against Kirk Cignetti, as I will continue to say until I get blue in the face. I win, Google me, Cignetti. Indiana is a 21-point favorite now. We've seen a market move, and I think that was a correct me if I'm wrong. That was a best bet from you, right? Indiana, anything less than 21?
Yeah, I put that out in July. I think we were getting laying 18.5 at the time. Now it's up to 21. So that would be definitely my cutoff point there on that. But I do like what Cignetti's doing there. But, you know, in terms of FIU, that's a team that I'm curious to see, because their power ratings, their TSI power ratings have increased each of the last 2 years. So they're on a very positive trajectory right now, as far as my numbers go. So I'm very curious to see if that's going to continue. I gave them a 3-point bump for the Pitbull deal. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But I'm very curious to see, you know, are these last couple of years trending in the right direction? Is that going to continue, or are they going to kind of, are they due for some regression back to kind of where the program has been over the last handful of years? So that's really what I'm looking for out of them. Can they continue the positive momentum forward? Looking at their schedule, obviously at Indiana, but then, you know, other than that, they don't have any, you know, real juggernauts here that really scare you. They play at Liberty. That's going to be a loss, I'm sure. But otherwise, I mean, everything, all of their spreads, their projected spreads are single digits here for the most part. So going to be some very interesting games, I think, for the Panthers this year.
I want to get to a team that I've heard a number of folks in our world, I don't call them sharp, but I've just tried to consume as much content as possible. And when I've stumbled upon some CUSA previews, they have not been all that bullish on the boys from Ruston, Louisiana Tech. Sonny Cumbie entering year 3. Win total sits at 5 right now at DraftKings. Let me get the proper juice for you on Louisiana Tech. It's juice minus $1.25 to the under, Tyler. Taking a look at this Louisiana Tech team, they open up with an FCS opponent, but they do play NC State on the road. They get Arkansas later on the season on the road. And when you look at, you know, this schedule, if I'm reading it correctly, they don't play Liberty this year, which is beneficial, but there hasn't seemed to be a lot of positivity coming out of Louisiana Tech, who is coming off of a third consecutive 3-9 season.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of them. My number is right in line with the market. I'm at 5.1 wins, so I wouldn't have a strong play either way on the win total. Schedule is interesting, though, because like you said, they avoid Liberty. The non-conference, very tough at NC State, at Arkansas late in the year. They play FCS Nichols to open the season. That should be a win. I've got them favored by 9.5 in that game. I mean, looking at the rest of their games, though, I mean, minus one. They're a 1-point dog to Tulsa, 1-point favorite to FIU, 1-point dog to Middle Tennessee, 3-point dog at Mexico State. So, I mean, there's some real toss-up games in here for them. So, I mean, those are the type of teams that I would not want to take a win total position on, because it's like there's just way too much coin flip, way too many coin flip games here that could really swing it one way or the other. So I would not be interested in that at all.
All right, let's get to New Mexico State, because this is a team that for many, many years was, let's be honest, kind of an embarrassment. And Jerry Kill breathed a whole bunch of life into this program last year. You know, he deserved National Coach of the Year consideration. I know they got blown out in the bowl game, but won 10 games just a year ago. You know, much to my chagrin, won their regular season finale against Jacksonville State when they had things locked up for the CUSA championship. So what Jerry Kill was able to do was unbelievable. And now he has moved on into a more of an analyst role with Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia, their stud quarterback, moves on with him as well. A lot of production out the door. Tony Sanchez, who is an alum, but someone that if you look at prior head coaching experience, wasn't all that successful at his time at UNLV after he was a very, very successful high school coach at Bishop Gorman here in Las Vegas. So win total sits at 4.5, juiced under minus $1.50 at DraftKings. What do your numbers say about New Mexico State? Because I'm curious the drop off from the Jerry Kill era to the start of the Tony Sanchez era.
Yeah, this was a team that honestly was difficult to put together their preseason power rating because, I mean, it's just so hard to predict. You know, Jerry Kill kind of took that to the peak of what New Mexico State can be, I think, last year, you know, in contention to win the conference, that sort of thing. So for him to be gone, they take Pavio. Like, I don't know. It's hard to predict what that's going to look like. But I actually am higher on them than the market. I'm actually closer to 5 wins. I'm at 4.9. I've got them ranked 126 in the country, though. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. I'm not like running to the window to bet an over on New Mexico State this year. But they got Liberty in week 2. They're at Fresno State right after that. So that's kind of a tough back-to-back there. They're at Jacksonville State. They do get Western Kentucky at home. Then they're at Texas A&M. Like, I think this is definitely going to be a rebuilding year for you, for the Aggies this year. And like you mentioned, just a lot of uncertainty with the head coach and with him not having a great track record, even though he is an alum. It's like, well, what does that really mean? Does that right. do anything for you? You know, that's not necessarily a program that you bring back an alum because, you know, they get it. You know, it's not like an Ohio State or an Alabama or something where they would just get that tradition. That New Mexico State's tradition has been to lose. So we'll see what that looks like. Again, my number's a little bit on the over, but I'm definitely not running to the window to bet that.
Tyler wrote up every single team for the CUSA. We're not going to hit on all of them. So if you want insight on every single team, make sure you get your hands on our VSiN college football betting guide at VSiN.com/subscribe. So the teams we have yet to hit on, Sam Houston State, UTEP, Middle Tennessee State, who brings in Derek Mason to be their head coach, and the newest FBS team, the Kennesaw State Owls, enter, and maybe we could get a prop out there. Which Owl will have the best year? We know Rice will, but Temple versus Kennesaw State could be kind of a fun full-on D-gen thought process. But best of the rest, a nugget on any one of those teams as we wrap up here, Tyler?
Yeah, in terms of win total in this conference, Middle Tennessee. So the last time I updated win totals, I had their line at win total at 5. Minus 115 either way. And yep. I would be over that. I'm at 5.4 on them. So I would be over that. That from, you know, the way it's juiced, the way it's priced, that would be the biggest edge I have on a win total in the conference. So I did want to call that out. I do also show some value on the Kennesaw State over 2.5, but
brave
that's,
soul.
That is tough sledding. I would not want to do that with a team transitioning. I mean, full transparency, it's very difficult to translate that. So I wouldn't be running to bet that, but I did just want to call that out, that my numbers do indicate, based on their FCS performances, that maybe they go over 2.5 this year, but I'm gonna wait and see on that. But as far as everybody else, I'm pretty much in line with the market for the most part. No real edges to be had there.
All right. Read the CUSA preview over on our VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Follow him on social media at TSHOE Index and DM him if you want his TSHOE Index power ratings on every single team. Best bets, of course, I'm sure throughout the year on VSiN.com. By the way, for those wondering, and I know many of you guys were wondering, win total versus Temple versus Kennesaw State, they're both 2.5, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, enjoy that. Just, it may not be a bet, but VSiN College Football Betting Podcast listeners, let's keep an eye on Kennesaw State versus Temple. Who will have more wins in 2024. Tyler, always appreciate it, man, and we'll catch up soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Tim.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Thanks again to Tyler Shoemaker at TSHOE Index, giving us his thoughts on the CUSA, as well as Matt Eumanns, an extensive breakdown of the Big Ten with Matt and some best bets in there as well. I wanted to close out with this, and Matt and I talked about it. I think I'm going to go ahead and add
Indiana over 5.5, minus $1.25 to a best bet here. That was given out by Wes Reynolds a couple weeks ago. It's in our guide. I haven't bet it yet, so hopefully I get to it at that price, but minus $1.25. Two bets that I have made to close out the podcast, and if you think back to the month of June when I had a very long discussion about Notre Dame and how I was looking to bet it, and we can create our own over 9.5 market at minus $2. I bet that 65% of my unit on over 10.5 wins, which actually you can get a slightly better number at, and then 35% of that unit on Notre Dame exactly 10 wins. Well, a new market popped up, and shouts to Matt Fortuna, good friend of mine, and does work for his own website, as well as does the podcast The Independent with Pete Sampson. And he sent me this note from DraftKings. Notre Dame win total at home. It is set at 5.5. They have 6 home games. The juice to the over, plus 140. To quote my good friend Brad Evans, I am very seduced by that juice. Let's look at that home schedule. September 7th, Northern Illinois. Tyler Shoemaker, who you just heard from, he lines that game at 29.5. Brad Powers lines it at 31.5, over 4 touchdowns. September 21st, Miami of Ohio, the reigning MAC champions. Tyler Shoemaker lines that game minus 26. Brad Powers lines that game minus 28. Another situation, over 4 touchdowns. September 28th, Louisville. Now, this you could say, oh, this is probably a stumbling block for Notre Dame. Potentially. Maybe. Right now, game of the year line sits at DraftKings, Notre Dame minus 9.5. Why I am confident Notre Dame will win this game. One, I do believe that Louisville is downgraded a bit from a year ago. I am not a big Tyler Shuck believer. Jack Plummer had the game of his life last year against the Irish. But let's look back to last year. Notre Dame went to Louisville. Terrible situational spot. Off of the Ohio State game, off of the Duke game, both those games came down to the wire. They went into a raucous environment at Louisville, and they fell apart. Louisville scored 20 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. Notre Dame turned the ball over 5 times, threw 3 picks. They will absolutely have their attention ready for Louisville. Bye week, Stanford. Once again, Tyler Shoemaker minus 25, Brad Powers minus 25.9. Then a couple of neutral site games where Notre Dame plays Georgia Tech and Navy. Those games don't count towards this. A bye week for the Irish, Florida State. No doubt the biggest challenge on this home schedule, November 9th against Florida State. Let's talk about a situation. Notre Dame's schedule, as you just heard from a home standpoint, really not that appetizing, right? Northern Illinois, Miami, Louisville, Stanford. This is the game. It's going to be a night game, early November. Notre Dame coming off a bye. Florida State, which should take a bit of a step back, but I think they have a chance to win the conference this year. From a situational standpoint, they'll be heading into their fourth game at Duke, at Miami, North Carolina, who Adam Burke very bullish on, and then travel to Notre Dame, which could be in the elements from a weather standpoint. Notre Dame coming off a bye. Right now, circa sits that game, Florida State, plus 5, so Notre Dame a 5-point favorite. DraftKings at 4. Tyler Shoemaker and Brad Powers both line that game at 7. And then Notre Dame wraps up the regular season at home against Virginia November 16th, where they should be north of a 3-touchdown favorite against Virginia. Maybe a little bit of a letdown there off the Florida State game, but with this veteran nature of this roster, and as we talked about when we previewed the Irish back in June, it's all there. Tons of money with the coordinators, tons of money on the roster. If you lose one of these home games, it's going to be deemed a pretty big disappointment. So at the plus odds, I ran with that one. Lastly, as I mentioned to Matt in the open, and we've talked about the little cross-sport parlay, shouts to the Bear. I know he loves doing those. I put together another one. So already we have Oregon to make the playoff, paired with the Eagles to win the NFC East. We just talked to Tyler Shoemaker about the CUSA. Liberty, I really hope they do not make the college football playoff. I don't want to see it. I don't think they're good enough. I think Boise State, Memphis, there's a handful of teams. UNLV, that are better than UNLV and will represent the G5 better. So we're going to be pulling for Appalachian State when they host Liberty on September 28th. We're going to be pulling for East Carolina when they go into Lynchburg on September 21st. But look at that schedule, man. It is the easiest schedule in the country by most metrics. The two best teams in that conference outside of Liberty, Western Kentucky, Jacksonville State, both of them head to Liberty. Liberty will be a double-digit favorite in every single conference game. Now, this bet isn't for them to win the conference regular season. It's for them to win the conference championship. Well, last year, I thought I would take New Mexico State plus the points in this particular spot. Liberty in Lynchburg, Virginia, threw up 49 points in that game. Now, they did lose their leading wide receiver. He transferred to LSU and CJ Daniels, but they bring back their leading rusher. They bring back Caden Salter, which is a big surprise to me. Jamie Chadwell's squad, if they don't win this conference, with New Mexico State taking a significant step back, with Jerry Kill retiring and then moving on to Vanderbilt in an analyst role, Diego Pavia moving on with them to Vanderbilt, this would be a disaster if Liberty does not win this. So at minus $2, could you lay that? Sure. Or you could do what I did and pair it with the Kansas City Chiefs at DraftKings at minus 230, which comes out to a plus 115 cross-sport parlay. The Chiefs to win the AFC West. They've won that division 8 straight times. This is not a NFL podcast, but I look at that division right now. Bo Nix leading the things for the Denver Broncos. Hey, look great in that preseason game against the backups there for the Indianapolis Colts. Las Vegas Raiders, who knows what's going on at their quarterback situation. And then Jim Harbaugh heads to L.A. I think there's optimism there, but will it happen immediately? Will they be able to unseat the champs? So that is a little added cross-sport parlay to our repertoire there, our postseason, our preseason win totals and bankroll heading into this upcoming year. So there you go. Notre Dame over 5.5 wins, plus 140 at DraftKings, and then Liberty to win CUSA paired with the Kansas City Chiefs to win the AFC West comes out to plus 115 at DraftKings. All right, that's going to do it. I know it's been a long podcast. We'll be back next week. I'm looking at him right now. Jonathan Von Tobel, my VSIN primetime co-host, will jump on the podcast again. We'll do the Big 12. We'll do the Mountain West. And he even wrote up the Pac-2, Oregon State and Washington State. So we'll get to that early next week. We'll get some more win totals. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Let's keep the momentum rolling as we are about a week away, ladies and gentlemen, from the start of the college football season. Thanks to producer Ryan for doing a great job with everything behind the scenes. Producer Wyatt as well. I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.